today we're going to talk about a whole different aspect of that story. Hospitality. The concept of hospitality, of inviting people into your life, into your home, to your dinner table, to coffee at Timmy's or Starbucks or Panera or wherever you go. It is the idea of creating intimacy deliberately. That's hospitality. And it's throughout the Bible, from beginning to end. But let's start reading. We'll read the first 8 verses, and then you may keep your Bible open because we're going to go through it almost verse by verse in the few minutes we have. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw 3 men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought. Then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get 3 seahs of finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. Then he brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. And while they ate, he stood near them under a tree. So far, the reading of God's Word. So the first verse is a narrative. It's kind of... the storyteller is telling us what is going on. He's creating the setting. The Lord appeared. Look at capital L-O... it's all capitals, right? The Lord. Jehovah. Jehovah. God. God appears or appeared to Abraham, and he puts it in a very specific place, near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. God appeared, you know, at the park just behind the hospital where they have those 4 benches, and God appeared in a very specific place. The narrator, Moses, who wrote this, he's giving the detail. So now we know. We have God. We have Abraham. There's some great trees near Mamre. And that's where, not Mamre, Mamre. I wanted to say Mamre. While he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. So it's hot. And Abraham's chilling back on his lawn chair. And just enjoying the sights, maybe having a nice tea. How would you spend your day in the heat of the day? It's hot. Summer. On your back porch. Wherever you are. In the shade. Under the umbrella. Having a nice tea. Or a soda. Or a glass of water. A lemon. And the Lord appears. Abraham looked up and saw 3 men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. Okay, here again. Very important, something to catch. If you're traveling through a country, there are no specific like ditches or fences. There are some roads, some treks, some little trails here and there. And there are some major roads. And if you're going to live in that area, you're going to set your tent up in a nice place where there's some trees and shade and maybe catch a bit of wind. And it's a nice, safe, secure place. And if you are a traveler and you see this place, you have a choice, right? You can walk in front of it and be noticeable, or you can go around behind. There's a choice, correct? You can avoid that whole tent completely. What did our Lord do? He goes in front, in full sight of Abraham, and stops at a tree. And you say, so what? Think about your life. Think about our lives. Think about how God has met you. God has made himself visible to you and I. He says, here I am. I'm right here. He does not force himself on us. He makes himself visible and apparent. What does Abraham do? He gets up. Does he recognize who it is? By all indication, he has not a clue who these three men are. He sees three men and he runs up to them. Well, it's very normal in that culture that if a stranger passes by, you offer them a few essentials. Definitely water to wash and to drink, to knock the dust off. And you might offer them a piece of bread, a bite to eat, a fig or something in season. Generally, that would be normal, just for someone that passed by. What does Abraham do? He rushes up to them and he bows low. He shows the visitors this great respect and he bows low to the ground. And he says, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord. Now here's the same word, Lord. But notice, it's all lowercase. It's just a word of respect. It's like, hello, sir. Hello, ma'am. Right? It's a sign of respect. If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Notice what Abraham offers now. Let a little water be brought. Okay. So you can wash your feet and rest under this tree. Just don't worry. Don't even get up. Just have a seat. Let water be brought to you. It's no bother. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Okay, that's customary. Not really a big deal. Very well, they answered, do as you say. So the three visitors say, yes, we'll accept your hospitality. Again, it's an interchange. Nothing really out of the ordinary. But then it gets really weird. There are three men that are visiting. And Abraham rushes into Sarah and says, get three seahs of flour. One seah of flour would make enough bread for at least three people. One. And Abraham says, get three. So three times, there's a significance to the number three in Christianity and in the Bible and in Jewish life. That's three. An overabundance. There's a lot meant by that word. But it is impressive that it's three seahs of flour, not just the one. And then, who's ever done a barbecued pig or a barbecued calf? Like lately. Okay. Hey, thanks for all coming. Great. Let me get you something to eat. We're gonna do some veal. All right. That's all right. Move. Oh, here he is. How long is it going to take? Long time. Even if the oven's already going, we gotta slaughter it. We got to clean it. There's a bit of prep work. I'm no butcher, I'm not a hunter, but I know. People tell me that's going to take a few minutes, hour. And then how long does it take to cook? Mom, I got a turkey. How long is it going to take to get ready? When do I have to start it before dinner? Well, what time are you eating? We're going to eat at 5. Well, how much does the bird weigh? So many pounds. Okay, well, you set the oven at such and such a degree, and for every pound you cook it so long. Can you do the math? Well, if it's help. Okay, you cook it this long at this temp, and it'll all be ready. So you start the oven at, preheat it, and there's a process, and it takes a certain length of time to cook a turkey. 15 minutes? An hour? Half hour? 3 hours. A turkey, depending on how big it is. Okay, is a calf bigger than a turkey? I know, that isn't that a stupid question? I don't mean to insult you, but it takes 3 hours to cook a turkey at home in an electric oven. How long is it going to take you to cook a calf? Okay, this is going to take some time. When Abraham offers hospitality to his visitors who have made themselves known. They've invited the invitation, right? They stopped in front of his tent in his eyesight. They invited him to invite them. They've accepted. Abraham is going out of his way to, in overabundance, feed them. There's the bread. Enough for 9 people being fed to 3. There is milk, there's curds, and there's a calf. And there are lots of leftovers. We're eating calf sandwiches for the next week. Right? I mean, it's overabundance. It's a feast. And Abraham still doesn't even know who he's feeding. And what does Abraham do? He stands back while they eat, as a servant would. Near enough, so it'd be like, go ahead, would you like some more bread? Here's some bread, and then step back and stay out of your way. But close enough so I could chat with you, Winnie, because I'd love to. How is your journey? So did you pass by? And there would be conversation. There's this opportunity for conversation that Abraham just wants. And he's conversing and interacting with his 3 visitors. And he's done that while the food is being prepared. So that's a few hours, minimally. And again, while they eat. And they're just normal, everyday people, right? That's what we get to verse 8. I would invite you to read the rest of chapter 18 when you get home. Because it tells so much about what came out of the opportunity to sit down with God. The angel of the Lord is the translation in some Bibles, but we have the word Lord right from the beginning, all capitals. Jehovah met with Abraham and 2 angels. And he slowly reveals himself. He says, well, you're going to have a child. And Sarah laughs. She's listening, from the tent. And she kind of laughs. And God says to her, I heard you laugh. Oh, no, I didn't. She denies. Right? There's that whole story. God slowly reveals who he is. And after a while, you got to wonder how long it takes for Abraham to realize who he's dealing with. But one of the key points, so actually there's 2 key points, two different levels I want to draw something out of here. Because God says later in chapter 18, look, I'm going to bless the world through this man Abraham. I'm going to tell him what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. There's that whole conversation going on. All right? Would any of that happen? Would the intimacy have happened in the relationship between Abraham and the Lord had Abraham not gotten off his butt in the cool of his, right? I mean, it's hot day. I'm very comfortable sitting in front of my tent. Had he not gotten up and ran out to meet these three men and offered them courtesy and hospitality, none of this would have happened. Jesus stands before you. God stands before you. We talked about this just the other day. We have opportunity of blessing or curse. God stands before you each and every day, and He's offering you 24 hours to meet with Him. A day. Right? Well, okay, we need some sleep. Take 8 off. 16 hours of the day to commune with Him while I work. Bring Him along. He's offering you specific time each and every day. He is standing in front of you and He is offering to hang out with you in your day. It's up to you to invite Him. It's up to you to allow God to establish intimacy with you. You are at, as a congregation, are at a kind of a milestone place right now. You have to decide, what is God leading us to do as a congregation, right? Are we going to move forward as a congregation? Are we going to amalgamate? Are we going to do, what is God's will for Emmanuel Baptist Church? You guys are struggling with that. You're praying about it. You're talking about it. What's the best way to know God's will? Spend time with Him. Let Him impress your heart with His will. You can talk and discuss all you want, but unless you spend time with the Lord, you will not know His will. You want discernment? You want guidance? Not promising you unity. I mean, our understanding is always a little skewed, right? We might still disagree where God is leading us, but at least take the time to meet with God intimately and let Him lead. Don't come back and say, I spent the time with God. He spoke to me, and He said this, and all the rest of you are wrong. That God does not work that way. Then you have a misunderstanding. So let just before you go that route. God has impressed upon me this or that. And discern it amongst yourselves as a group. Test what God places upon your heart. Secondly, the other big point is this. Do you want to grow as an individual? Do you want to grow spiritually as a congregation? Do you love the people sitting next to you in the bench and those sitting on the other aisle? I mean, we generally sit in the same place. So either you're comfortable sitting there or you just don't like the people on the other side. I mean, I don't know. I'm new. I know you love each other. I'm kidding. But do you want to grow? Do you want to grow? Do you want to know each other's hearts? I know absolutely nothing about Andrew except that he goes to Queens. He's doing amazing, by the way, because profs are asking him to teach and pulling him up. And his grandfather really wished he would go on for his master's. I know that too. I just got to mention these things. But that's about all I know about you, Andrew. That's it. But what would happen if we would sit down and do lunch together? Which I hope we will get the opportunity in the future. But would our conversation not go much deeper? Would I not learn what you're doing, what you're studying, where your heart is? And hopefully you would learn mine. Unless we take this time with each other as congregational members? How are we going to know each other's hearts? How are we going to know where God is leading each other? And why we believe certain things? Because we think differently. I would guess that there's something that Tula and I disagree on. I'm sure we could, if we sat here long enough, we'd find something that we disagree on. Would that ruin our relationship, or could that build our relationship? It could build the relationship, because Tula is going to say, Pastor, you're wrong, and I believe you're wrong because, and I'm going to have to say, wow, Tula, I never thought about it that way. I still think you're wrong, but now at least I understand why Tula believes something she does, right? How do we do that? We don't just, conversation doesn't just happen. Sharing happens in an atmosphere of hospitality, of sitting around a table. Today we were invited to God's table. How often do you invite each other to your own tables? It starts here within the congregation. We will never entertain angels, a stranger, if we don't first learn how to entertain our friends and fellow congregants. I want to leave that one with you too. Amen.